I'll give you the title up front, as I love to do anymore. Jacob's Trouble, When the Power is Shattered. And it is important to know these things. I went through the last time, and I went to Leviticus chapter 26, verse 19. And I used that verse in Leviticus 26, 19 as the title for my sermon 2 weeks ago, part one. I will break the pride of your power. And I went through that, and I went through some things in prophecy, and I brought it to the point to show us all with perspective why we're seeing things happen in this nation and world the way they are. There is a reason these things are happening. And that message I gave, I went through some of those things and highlighted and showed why. I call it the Job effect. I've come to personally realize, and anyone is always open to disagree with me, that's okay. But I've chosen to call this whole scenario the Job effect, because I feel like, putting perspective to it, that I've been seeing for a long time what's going on. We know that Satan came, and he came to God, and God said, "What do you think of my servant Job? He's a righteous man." We know that Satan said, "Yeah, but just let me just take some hedges down, remove some hedges, and let me have at him, so to speak, and we will see if he will continue to worship you." And so we know that the first effect with Job was that all of his wealth and possessions were removed. And then he comes back, and he once again has that conversation with God. And now he basically, in essence, said, just remove all the hedges, even around him, his physical body. Let me afflict him in the flesh, and he will curse you. And God says, you can do with him in the flesh whatever you want to, but you will not take his life. And we know the story. Job was afflicted in the flesh. I see the same effect happening that's going to happen one day. First, our wealth and possessions are being removed, this nation. And the second phase will be, like Job, will be the time of Jacob's trouble, when that power is completely shattered. And I will go to that in the message today. What's happening to America right now is the judgments are coming. God's judgments are coming. And they're being poured out. These are judgments of God. Yes, Jeremiah says your own backsliding will reprove you. That does not nullify that all through the scriptures, God says, all through the Old Testament, different places, it is I who will strike the blow. Ultimately, it is God who metes out judgment. All judgment ultimately is in God's hands. And I want to talk about those things today. Hebrews 10:31 tells us, you can jot it down, Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I want you to think about that verse for a moment. It is a fearful thing to fall into God's hands. That is in terms of judgment. And brethren, make no doubt about it, we're under judgment now. We're under judgment. All of us are. Each one of us are under judgment, as we know. It is our day of salvation, as we well know. And God is judging us. I can ask the quick question I think I did in the first message, part one. Can God get angry at you? Can God get angry at me? Absolutely. And can God definitely get angry at a nation? Especially when the sins are rising to the levels that we see in this nation. A nation that he ordained to be a light to the other nations. Again, if you haven't read this booklet ever or in a long time, you might want to go back and read it soon against the backdrop of the times we're in, because it's more timely and prophetic now than ever. The United States and Britain in prophecy. And many will hear this message out in the land after it's posted. You're just a small smattering of those who are going to hear this message. And I speak to all those out in the land who will hear it later. Because there are many who need to hear this message out there. Have you ever heard of Jonathan Edwards, the great colonial preacher during colonial times? I think Mr. Davenport has heard of him, right, Ron? What a preacher he was. He gave a sermon in 1741. I think it was 1741. He gave a sermon that is very famous. You could Google it. Fact is, you ought to Google that sermon and read the whole transcript of that sermon. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation because of the way it puts it. I love the way the New Living Translation renders it. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. The subheading in my NLT, A Song About the Lord's Vineyard. And I wrote a love affair, God's love affair with a people. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now I will sing to the one I love a song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, he cleared its stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle he built a watchtower and carved a winepress in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. Verse 3. Now you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not already done? When I expected sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? Verse 5. Now let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will tear down its hedges and let it be destroyed. I will break down its walls and let the animals trample it. I will make it a wild place where the vines are not pruned and the ground is not hoed. A place overgrown with briars and thorns. I will command the clouds to drop no rain on it. The nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord of Heaven's armies. The people of Judah are his pleasant garden. He expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead he heard cries of violence. A direct prophecy of how God planted Israel as this vineyard to produce good fruit. And they have produced only the bitter fruit. And that's where we have come to in this modern age. Nations of Israel, particularly the U.S. and England, the birthright sons, as I gave in part one, who have produced in the end nothing but bitter fruit. God's vineyard that he planted. You could go to many places in Scripture in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 18 is that one that I love so much. You don't need to turn there, but Jeremiah 18 talks about how, let's go to the potter's house again. Let's see what the potter is doing. And he speaks there in those verses about how he plants and he plucks up and he forms disaster and he's fashioning a disaster. I mean, these things, these prophecies are interlaced all through the Old Testament. And they're everywhere to go to. There's the common thread throughout prophecy that God chose a nation, Israel, to be a special people to him. And how that nation has betrayed even down to our modern age today. And again, we know and understand who we are. There is no nation or group of nations more under judgment today than the modern nations of Jacob. I want you to go now to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. I walked in here today. And I told two or three of you. You asked me, how are you doing? Sober-minded. You know, with my brother's situation, we, you know, hearing that 2 weeks ago and having to adjust to that, and then looking around at this world, this nation, and seeing the abominations and debauchery And if you're not sober-minded at this time, when are you ever going to be sober-minded? Chapter 30 of Jeremiah, back to the New King James rendering. Verse 4. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces are turned pale? Verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That is ultimately when that remnant would be saved out of it, which is possibly a third part later. We see here, though, a prophecy of Jacob's trouble. Your psalm books on the table here, page 167. God will see us through. One of the lines in that song, one of the lines there is, when Jacob's trouble shall appear. We're seeing again the very breaking of the power of this nation. We're seeing the very essence of our power broken. And brethren, the whole heart and essence of our power has been our economic might, because it has been through our capitalistic system. And the world had never seen an economic system like we have had. And it is quickly being disassembled and destroyed right in front of our eyes. How much longer, as I brought out in the first message, to the currency, the dollar is no more? How much longer till the dollar is no more? And it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. It's not a question of if. It's a question of when. We have something like digital currency, or who knows what we're going to have. These things are going to affect us, the church. And ultimately, they're going to affect us meeting together. I want you to go back to Leviticus chapter 26. I was here with you 2 weeks ago. Leviticus 26. It's called the blessing and cursing chapter. Deuteronomy 28 also is called that. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 are the corresponding parallel chapters of the Bible that speak of the blessings and cursing. We were here in Leviticus 26. I want to drop down to verse 19. I had read this when I was here 2 weeks ago. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. I want to pick up in verse 20 and just read some verses here, because these were prophecies given by God long ago. And if you think these were prophecies only for ancient Israel, then you are vastly mistaken. These prophecies have great duality for us today. In fact, more meaning for this nation, America, and the modern sons of Jacob today than ever before. This is what God says, I will do to you if you disobey me. Verse 20, your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. Verse 21, then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins. Notice that. I will judge you according to your sins. So if our sins are melting, and they are, and the abominations of the land are melting, and they are, then that means God says, I'm going to send even worse punishments and judgments on you. Verse 22, I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. This is all speaking of the time of Jacob's trouble. We're not there yet. But we're headed that direction if this nation doesn't repent again. Verse 23, and if by these things you are not reformed by me, or in other words, if you don't repent, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword against you, that is warfare, that will execute the vengeance of my covenant. Brethren, we're seeing the sinners again in the hands of an angry God. As Jonathan Edwards gave that great sermon in the 1700s, America and the modern sons of Joseph and Jacob are falling more and more into the hands of an angry God over their abominations and their transgressions and their sins. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back to you your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And after all this, verse 27, if after all this, all that I am doing to punish you, if you do not obey me but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you in fury. This is New King James. I will walk against you in great anger and fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. Mr. Reed gave the sermonette talking about forgiveness. As Solomon speaks in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. This nation is courting God's judgments unless they repent. And forgiveness won't come unless they repent. We, as the church of God, members of the body of Christ, will not be forgiven if we don't repent. And if we keep doing those things contrary to God, even as members of the body of Christ, we arouse God's anger and vengeance against our own being. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. And that is talking about a time coming when it will be so bad, and I will get to that here shortly. Again, verse 31, I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. Verse 33 is the clincher, you might say. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. A terrible time, a catastrophic time that's coming one day. If, again, that little big word if we don't repent. Be turning to Daniel, the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel. Go there with me. Go to Daniel 12. Daniel 12. Daniel was given much to see in visions and dreams, and yet what he saw in his dreams and visions, he did not understand. He was having what I call nightmares from those things. Wasn't even able to eat at times. He was so shaken to his being and core at things he was seeing. And all that he was seeing, brethren, was what would happen in our day and age now and yet to come. The very things that he was seeing was prophesied to happen way into the future. But that time way in the future has now arrived on our doorstep, except it's going to get much worse. You look at verse 1. You look at verse 1. At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And I won't go any further, because the point's being made, Daniel is being shown, a time of trouble would begin to happen, that there would never be a time like it since, before, or ever. And when it says a time of trouble, it's that very time of trouble that we read there in Jeremiah chapter 30, called Jacob's trouble. We look at verse 4 of Daniel. Now, how many times have we looked at this verse? You know, how many times in my lifetime have I looked at this verse 4 of Daniel 12, sermons, and this verse has been read all my life, and we read it again, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Can any of us deny where knowledge is now and the increase of it? I won't even talk about that which I don't understand, artificial intelligence. I know the broad premise of it, and that's all I know. But it's where AI is going, and some of you in this room know more about it than I do, of course. But where AI has come to and where it's going, it's scary. Can we not see that we're there? This is it. This is, we're seeing the very times that Daniel saw in his dreams and visions that rocked him to his core. Let's pick up in verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever, that it should be for a time, times and half a time. That is your 3.5 years. That is that last 3.5 year period of time that will happen before Jesus Christ returns. It's called the time of the beast's power. Your 3.5 years. So we see it pinpointed at the very end. And notice, and when the power, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. In 1995, when the former association that we were a part of apostatized, and many by the thousands left that former association and went different directions, there were many who says, aha, there's the fulfillment of that prophecy. And at the time in 95, I said, no, that is not a reference to the church. You don't shatter and scatter the power of the Holy Spirit. Because as I brought out in the message 2 weeks ago, the church grows the most when it's persecuted. You can prove that from Scripture. The church of the fifth seal, called the time of the great martyrdom, is going to be the greatest growth of all. And it's going to be during a time of great martyrdom. The church grows the most when it becomes a persecuted church and has to look to God totally for deliverance. And so, no, what is it talking about? The power of the holy people shattered. Was there a church in Daniel's time? I don't think so. Who were the holy people being referred to? And that Greek word, by the way, for shatter, this is New King James Bible. The original Hebrew word is scatter. Scatter. When the people have been scattered, the holy people. Who were the holy people in Daniel's time? Turn to Daniel 10:14. Look in Daniel 10:14. Chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 14. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. What will happen to your people in the latter days, Daniel? Who were Daniel's people at that time? Of course, the house of Judah, who had gone into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, and the northern 10 tribes of Israel. It is all in this book here. And the northern 10 tribes of Israel who had gone into captivity earlier, these were the holy people at that time, rendered as the holy people. If you go back to Mount Sinai in Exodus 19, I won't go there, but I can quote from it in Exodus 19 where God told Israel at Mount Sinai as they were preparing for Pentecost that we will be keeping them all. You shall be a holy people unto me, a special treasure. Daniel 12:7, and the power of the holy people shall be shattered or scattered, is a reference to national powers of Israel shattered. Go on reading here. Verse 8, although I heard, I did not understand. And then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the end of the, until the time of the end. Verse 10, many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Many shall be made white, their robes made white. You will read in Revelation under the fifth seal where many will have their robes made white. There will be a vast calling and conversion process that will happen under the fifth seal, but most will be martyred. And we see that being prophesied here. Verse 11. Now we're beginning to pick up on a more definitive time frame of when all this happens. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there should be 1,290 days. There we see it referred to the daily sacrifice being removed. That is why many believe that there will be a temple built in Jerusalem and sacrifices reinstituted before the beast power shows up, and the beast power will set up and remove that daily sacrifice. This is one of the key scriptures prophecies that is used. And he goes on to say here, verse 12, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But Daniel was told, but go your way to the end, for you shall rest and will rise to your inheritance at the end of the days. And if you were to look back at verse 11, the abomination of desolation is set up. The abomination of desolation is the beast power. When the beast power is set up, and it's on earth and reigns for 3.5 years. These prophecies are very clear and defined, and give us a time frame. And so we see here that what's going to happen in actuality, the national powers of Israel will have collapsed and been shattered. National powers, militaries have been shattered, which allows the beast power to take over. We already see our military of this nation. We see a very fast weakening of our military and our military presence around this world. And like I said earlier, what happens in 2024 is going to affect us all very much directly. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 28. These are prophecies today, letting God's word define that coming time of Jacob's trouble, coming from God himself who pours out these judgments. Deuteronomy 28, as you're turning there, what being right now has judgment handed to him? Jesus Christ. All judgment was committed into the hands of Jesus Christ. The same God of the Old Testament, the one, the I am, the God of that Old Testament, as many in religions want to say, that harsh God of the Old Testament, that was the one who became Jesus Christ. And just as that being poured out judgments on ancient Israel, the same Jesus Christ who has all judgment committed into his hands will pour out these judgments on modern day Israel. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58, breaking right into the heart of these blessings and curses. Verse 58, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome God, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in the multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is the coming full-blown judgments poured out by God, Jesus Christ, during the time of Jacob's trouble. It shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing, and you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess. And then verse 64, then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. This happened in ancient Israel, and it shall happen again in modern Israel. These prophecies, again, have great duality of meaning. We hear terms, and we use terms like parallel meaning, synonyms, duality. All prophecy primarily has duality. And the major prophecies have yet to be fulfilled. The major prophecies concerning the very end have yet to be fulfilled in their ultimate fulfillment. There's the verse in Malachi chapter 3:6. How often I think about this verse, I always thought about it so much of the time. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." I do not change. The same judgment that he meted out against ancient Israel for their sins and their abominations as they would multiply is the same God today who will mete out the same type judgments. Turn to Hosea, book of Hosea. Again, we call these minor prophets. Hosea, though, is not minor in its message. Hosea, chapter 5, a definitive prophecy of our time today, just beyond today, when this is going to happen. Chapter 5, Hosea, verse 1. In fact, my subheading, interestingly, in my New King James Bible, says impending judgment on Israel and Judah. That is my subheading in my Bible. "Hear this, O priest, take heed, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for yours is judgment, because you have been a snare to Mizpah and a net spread on Tabor. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter. And though I rebuke them all, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled." Verse 4, "They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord." Can we not see that in this land now? And the abominations are growing to the extent that I wonder just how far God's going to allow some of these abominations to go. Verse 5, "The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them." Other translations show clearly they fall. They fall. Their national powers shattered, and they fall together. Very clear prophecy there. Verse 6, "With their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children, and now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage." Shows that when it does happen, it will be sudden. When it does transpire, when God says, I've had enough, it will be swift punishment. Turn to Ezekiel 5. Ezekiel chapter 5, letting the prophets today speak, because this is all part of the Bible. And it's all woven together to give a total picture of what God has done, is doing, and will do in the future. Ezekiel chapter 5. As you turn to Ezekiel 5, let me make a comment. The book of Ezekiel, we call it the book. The book of Ezekiel, the prophecies of Ezekiel, are more for modern day Israel than ancient Israel. These prophecies of Ezekiel were forward-looking prophecies to our day and age today. As you read these verses with me, you tell me if it doesn't fit us in this nation today. Verse 6, chapter 5, verse 6. She has rebelled against my judgments by doing wickedness more than the nations, and against my statutes more than the countries that are all around her. For they have refused my judgments and have not walked in my statutes. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have multiplied disobedience more than the nations that are all around you, and have not walked in my statutes and kept my judgments, nor even done according to the judgments of the nations that are all around you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, indeed I, even I, am against you and will execute judgments in your midst in the sight of the nations. God's going to punish this nation and the nations of modern Jacob openly in the sight of the nations. The beast's power will be an instrument in God's hand to punish modern day Jacob. The times of the Gentiles, as scripture speaks, the time of the abomination of desolation, and that's coming. Verse 9, notice how many first pronouns, how many times God says I, and who is that God being? The one who became Jesus Christ. Verse 9, and I will do among you what I have never done. Remember what Daniel 12:1 said, a time such as never will be again, never has been, or ever shall be again. And I will do among you what I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again. There you see the very essence of Daniel 12:1 by the prophet Ezekiel, because of all your abominations. Have you noticed any abominations in this land lately? I told one of you before service, right now, I can only imagine the white hot righteous anger of Jesus Christ and the Father of what they're seeing going on down here. I like to think mine is righteous anger when I see what I'm seeing. Sometimes it's probably more carnal, because sometimes, you know, the carnal side of you wants to step in and do something about it. But we have to realize Jesus Christ is coming. He is coming. He is on schedule. He is on schedule. And he'll come when the Father sends him. Verse 10. Therefore, fathers shall eat their sons in your midst, and sons shall eat their fathers. Because this is going to be a time, as Daniel said, as never before. I mean, that just is repulsive to our minds to even read the words or to hear those words. And yet, again, Daniel said, God told Daniel, it'll be times like never has been, nor shall ever be again. I will execute judgments among you, and all of you who remain I will scatter to the winds. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable things, with all your abominations, therefore I will diminish you. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. God will have no pity. His anger will not be requited until he has poured out his vengeance and his anger and his fury on a very sinful group of nations called the modern-day sons of Jacob. Why is it in this land alone? Why is it in this nation, America, alone, most of all, that we framed our very Constitution from the principles and laws of the Bible? Because of who we are. We had retained much of the commandments and the laws and the statutes of God, and our forefathers had a great understanding of that. And our whole Constitution was framed from, as an outline, you might say, from some of those very biblical laws and principles. The time of Jacob's trouble is going to be the worst time that mankind has ever experienced. And the ones in the bullseye is going to be the sons of Jacob's trouble. The 2.5 years of the first 3.5 years, that first 2.5 years is called the time of great tribulation. It is a time that Jacob, the sons of Jacob, are being severely punished. And the church is being martyred. It's going to be the most difficult time that the world has ever seen, as the beast's power will only have a 3.5 year reign. But what a 3.5 year reign of terror it's going to be when it does set up. There are leaders in this world right now. There are nations and leaders of this world right now taking a long, hard look at our deplorable situation in this nation. And they are no doubt behind the scenes working with objectives to achieve ultimately the goal of that one world government, because they can no longer depend on the United States of America, because our pride and our power is quickly being broken, and that will ultimately lead to the absolute complete shattering of national powers, to where there will be nothing left to stand up against the beast's power when it shows up. Turn to Ezekiel 7. Go back to Ezekiel 7. Ezekiel chapter 7. If you want a Bible study, go through the whole chapter 7 of Ezekiel. In fact, my subheading in my New King James Bible, my subheading before the whole chapter says, "Judgment on Israel is near." How near is this, brethren? 10 years? 5 years? 15 years? 20 years? 25? Let's say something at the end of the message here. You're there in Ezekiel 7. Drop down to verse 23. Verse 23. "Make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood. More and more we're seeing that, the violence in this land. And the city is full of violence. We're seeing more and more violent crime rise in this nation." Verse 24. "Therefore I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they shall possess their houses. I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease." That's seeing broken powers, brethren. Broken powers. "And their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. And then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priest and counsel from the elders." And then verse 27, "The king will mourn, and the prince will be clothed with sack of desolation, and the hands of the coming people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way, and according to what they deserve. I will judge them, and then they shall know that I am the Lord." And if you were to look at verse 1 of chapter 7, if you were to look there at verse 2, "And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end, the end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. And my eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will repay your ways, and your abominations shall be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." I mean, God all through the scriptures tells all of us individually and as nations, when judgments come, you will know that it is I, the Lord, who strike the blow. It is I who will strike the blow. And you will know that I, the Lord, He is sovereign. He is God. He created all things. He gave us life. He gives life to us as individuals. He gives life to nations, brethren. Jeremiah 18 again, "I pluck up and I plant." God's purpose, I should say purposes, plural. God's purposes in so many areas are so much beyond our ability to even comprehend what he is doing. God is doing something right now. There is no one busier in the universe than God in Christ. Satan's very busy. Satan is very busy right now. And so is his henchmen, the demonic world. But nobody outworks God in Christ. They're very active and busy right now. Do you know enough of the mind of God? Do you know enough of the mind of God to kind of know what they might be up to right now? Their anger is no doubt greatly kindled right now, but what they're looking down and seeing. Those song books again. I don't know what page it's on. I just thought about it in the moment. There's that song I've sang from the time I was a child, from the Psalms. How long, eternal, hide thou away? When will your wrath not burn like a fire? It's in the song books. I've sang it all my life. As a little kid, I wondered, how long, O Lord? You want honesty? When our girls, and Natalie is sitting in this congregation today, and when our girls were small, and I would look at my wife then. I looked at the world then. I thought it was bad then. And my exact words would be, honey, if Jesus Christ doesn't come soon, how are we going to save our kids and grandkids? And look, I had no idea how bad it was going to get. I mean, I knew from prophecies it's going to get bad. But you never realize how bad it is until evil is on your doorstep. Run, I'll quote you again. When the Twin Towers went down in 201, Ron Davenport gave that sermon Ed in Huntsville, the congregation here. And like Ron said then, when these things happen, you think you're ready for them, but you're not. You hear about cancer and that loved one, and you get shaken to your core. You get rocked. You get hit in the pit of your stomach. And then you do what? You collect yourself. Some of you in this congregation, Carolyn's not with us today, I see. You get rocked, but you dust yourself off, you get up, and you keep going forward. Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke. Chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. It's not a pleasant message to give. It's not a pleasant message to give at all. In fact, I'm looking forward to giving the one regarding Pentecost tomorrow. It'll be a very different type message. But this is a very sobering message. And again, two or three of you asked me when I walked in today, how you doing, how you feeling? Very sober, very sober-minded. Luke 21. This is the Olivet Prophecy. Luke's account sounds somewhat different than Matthew's account. But I want you to drop down to verse 20. A forward-looking prophecy that Jesus Christ gave of a time that we have not even seen yet. Christ gave this prophecy probably 2,000 years ago, and it has not yet happened, but it's going to happen, and it all, again, is pertaining to the time of Jacob's trouble. Verse 20, Christ said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Desolation, what does that mean? Abomination of desolation. When the beast's power has come in, it is setting up to take over Jerusalem and the Middle East. So he dates it as to specifically the time frame he's talking about. Verse 21, when this happens, when you see the abominations of desolation being set up, that is the beast power taking over Jerusalem, coming in, let those, verse 21, in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. Verse 22, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. Great wrath and anger upon this people. What people? The sons of Jacob. Jacob's trouble. And coinciding with that, the martyrdom of the saints under the fifth seal that Revelation speaks of, when this beast's power takes over for 3.5 years, you have both those situations coinciding with one another, the devastation of the sons of Jacob and the vast martyrdom of the saints of God, because the two witnesses will be preaching in Jerusalem for 1260 days, basically close to the same time frame of the abomination of desolation, and it becomes very obvious who and where the message is coming from that many will become converted, because they cannot shut the witnesses up for basically 3.5 years. And so it will be their message, no doubt, that will be convicting the minds and hearts of many people, and many will be martyred, though, because of that testimony. And then you see verse 24, Christ gives very definitive prophecy. They, who is they? The sons of Jacob, modern day nations of Israel, they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, which is 3.5 years. The Bible so clearly answers itself. These are prophecies given by Christ maybe 2,000 years ago that are shortly to happen in front of us. And when I say shortly, 5 years, 10, 15, 20, but they're going to happen. They're going to happen. It is, as I said, it is what I call the Job effect. I've come to personally believe this. It is, given perspective to what I see, it is right now, the United States of America, we are seeing the pride of our power being broken. We're seeing our very wealth, our possessions removed by degrees and more degrees. I heard yesterday late, probably more interest rates hikes are coming. People are living paycheck to paycheck right now. How much more can we load on the wagon before it collapses? And then the ultimate punishment is the shattering of the national powers that will allow the beast's power free reign for 3.5 years. No more America, no more England, no more modern sons of Jacob, as they have been scattered among the nations as punishment by God. I call it there again the Job effect. You don't need to turn there. Matthew 24:8. The Olivet Prophecy, as Matthew wrote it, Matthew 24:8, he talks about these are the beginning of sorrows. We are already in that time frame of the time of sorrow. And these sorrows will grow worse. I just thought, for a little point of humor, I just thought the old Hee-Haw show. Those of us who remember the old Hee-Haw show, gloom, despair, and misery on me. Remember that old line? That's kind of where we are right now. A lot of gloom, a lot of misery, a lot of despair. But yet, doom is on its way. It's right now a lot of gloom and a lot of despair and distress. But doom is coming short of national repentance. And I do credit, and I want to say this publicly, and this sermon will go on the website for many in the land to hear it. I do credit and applaud those in this nation who are trying to stop some of this madness. I do. I applaud you. But I'm afraid, as when Josiah sent the messenger to Huldah, the prophetess, when Josiah had cleaned up the land of Judah and much of Israel of all the idolatry. And he sent the messenger to Huldah, the prophetess, and said, have I done enough? God, will you spare it? And he said, no. They had crossed the line. I feel we've crossed the line. I say again, from 1973, and when I say 1973, did that ring a bell with some of you? What happened in 1973? Roe versus Wade. Abortion. The debts that we owe alone of all the murder of all the innocent little babies to the tune of millions and millions since 73. That alone is going to require judgment on this nation. And that's just one of many. Frankly, the murder of the unborn is as heinous of an abomination as there can be. Short of and equal almost to idolatry itself. You're there in Luke 21. Christ finishes with a message to the church. He finishes with a message more to us today when he gave this probably 2,000 years ago than any age of the church. Because when you understand this Olivet prophecy and all the things he prophesied, those people behind us in history, those who have come before us, will never see these things. These prophecies were given, most of all, for the end time church to understand and to have a heads up. Proof of it? Luke 21, verse 29. He follows these prophecies with this parable of the fig tree. And he spoke to them, verse 29, a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees, and when they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you, verse 31, likewise, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. You. Who is you? You and I today, the modern church. Because no age could see these things happening. We see them not only happening, but we know now that the kingdom of God is more near than ever. And I think that's why when we keep the Feast of Tabernacles this year in 2023, we should keep it with the understanding that we are now closer than ever to seeing its ultimate fulfillment. And I've got a sermon already kind of working on, God willing, that I'm able to give at the feast this year. Change is coming. Woke up one morning, the thoughts were pouring into my head, and I've already started saying, this would be a good message to say, because change is coming. What better type message at the feast than to say, change is coming? It's coming in the form of Jesus Christ. Verse 32, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass till all things are fulfilled. This generation. They thought that day, those who heard these words from Christ, no doubt thought he was referring to their generation. But yet he knew at that time that, like he had told Daniel, it will be way into the future. But we, this generation, will see these things fulfilled. There's not a doubt in my mind, because we got some very young ones in this room. There's not a doubt in my mind that there will be those in this room, lives preserved, that will see the windup of these prophecies. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And then we come to verse 34, because Christ has given this instruction to this generation, the generation that will see these things happen. And it's a message to the church. This parable is to us, the church. But take heed, verse 34, to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day shall come on you unexpectedly. I've never seen a more distracted world than we see today. This world that we live in, it's the most distracted world. Just drive the interstates alone, and you'll see how distracted people are. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. And then we find that verse 36. Watch therefore, this is to us the church, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. To stand before the Son of Man, because it is Jesus Christ who is the supreme judge. It is Jesus Christ who we will stand before the judgment seat. It is Jesus Christ who will pour out the punishments and is already pouring out the punishments on this nation. Long ago, England was called the sick man of Europe. Long ago, religion became a byword in England. Religion is fast becoming a byword in this nation. Well, brethren, that wraps this two-part sermon series up. Right now, don't know what I will give you, God willing, when I come back in 2 weeks. Tomorrow's Pentecost, but when I come back in 2 weeks, we'll see. But he knows. He'll put it in my mind. Look forward to seeing some of you after services and talking with you, fellowshipping, and looking forward to joining you tomorrow at Pentecost with a brighter message. But the message today, one that needed to be given.